And a one, and a two. Let's check the recording real quickly. Yes, it is. It's going. And a three.
Awesome.
Welcome to the Tales of Long Blocks podcast. This is episode 245. Dear Lord House. Spotlight on Marvel Comics Spider-Man 2009. Wait, no, it's $29.99. I typed that in there wrong. $20.99, excuse me. That is just totally different comic. That was 10, 15 years ago. No, just kidding. Spider-Man 2099, number one, circa 2015. Volume, I don't know, three or so, it looks like, comic book DB. Anyway, I am Chris Mulvey.
Yep. And I am Caleb Gerard.
And I am Murray Fox.
So I realized we had erred in never talking about a Peter David comic in all these years. And
great.
P.A.D. comic.
Yes.
And this is his... I don't know what else he's got going on. I'm sure he's got it out there, but...
I don't know if he still does, but he used to write Star Trek novels quite frequently. That's where I first... I read something that he did and then saw he wrote novels, and he is very good at doing Star Trek.
Yeah. He loves that stuff. He did a lot of Q books.
Yes, he did, actually. I remember. I still have some of those. But, yeah, good stuff.
Yeah, I think Q Squared was the first one I ever read by him.
Yep, I've got that one. That's a good one.
Yes, it was a fun one. I'm
still thinking about
it. You guys don't need to hear it.
No, still thinking about a Star Trek podcast, it being 50 years and all.
Good luck with that.
I'm just thinking. You know, I know there's more. There's plenty of them out there probably, but I'm just still thinking about it just for the hell of it because, you know, I have nothing to do in my spare time.
No.
Well, this book, to bring us back on track, this is the post-Secret Wars Spider-Man 2099. I think they were on like issue 8 or 9 when Secret Wars hit, mm-hmm. and then everything obviously got rebooted back to number 1 post-Secret Wars, and as far as Peter David was concerned, nothing much happened in that time, and he just kept going with the book as if Secret Wars never happened.
Okay.
People out. This cover's awesome. It's the Spider-Man 2099 character has been trapped back in the 20th century, so he's one of the dozen or so spider characters.
Whoa. Oh, hello?
Ooh.
Hello.
Hello.
Who is that? Who is this?
We're being hijacked.
Yeah, we are. Caleb?
Hello.
You back?
Hello.
Somebody hijacked our Skype there.
Jackass.
We were sent to 2099.
I think so.
We were.
Yeah. Interesting.
We back?
Yeah. It cuts you out and there's some kid.
Some kid?
Yes.
Yeah, some kid replaced you.
Seriously. That's freaky, man.
I'm Michael J. Fox. I'm in my DeLorean.
Yeah, that's creepy. That was creepy, man. Okay, well, why don't you go ahead and...
I'll give it a shot. Cover shows is... a la Crisis on Infinite Earths, that cover with the split Earths between Earth 1 and Earth 2, but this is the future. This is 2099 on the left with Alchemex and 2016-ish on the right.
Oh, I see it now.
And Spider-Man 2099 is swinging through... the clouds. It's an awesome cover, and it is drawn by Francesco Martina.
Nice.
Brilliant.
That's what it says.
That is what it says. Mm-hmm.
There were some variant covers. There was a hip-hop cover by Afu Chan. But anyhow, so Peter David wrote this. Will Sliney was drawing it, and Frank Darmata is the color artist. Is that the new way of saying colorist, by the way, is color artist?
I guess so. Yes, I think there was a thing there. I seems like I remember seeing like a snippet of something that somebody was saying inkers weren't artists.
Ah.
So I guess that's their way of making them feel better.
Well, good. They do a hard. They do a badass job. So the history behind Spider-Man 2099 is this: there was a series of books back in the 90s where a bunch of very popular characters, Punisher, Hulk, Spider-Man,
X-Men
were all they were. They made 2099 versions of all the characters, and
I liked the X-Men.
There was even Doom 2099, which actually was a very good book.
Yes, it was.
And so was and then at one point, Peter David took over Spider-Man 2099, bringing his Hulk sensibilities to that book. So lightening it up a little bit, a little real-world dialogue, people making mistakes, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And this character, Miguel O'Hara, very cool name, by the way, was experimented on, and he became half spider. So he can do a lot of things a spider can. Spins a web any size, catches thieves just like flies.
Nice.
Thank you. Transition. So the splash page is what I've been begging from DC for the last 3 years, is a recap of what's going on. But every month it is his little holographic buddy from his watch, his iWatch or his whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. Her name is Lila. And she recently a temporal distortion threatened the stability of the future timeline Miguel calls home. In an effort to save his reality, Miguel came to the earliest days of Alchemax in your present day. The temporal distortion was more dangerous than he anticipated, however, and he became stranded. Now it is up to him to find a way home and ensure that he doesn't damage the timeline further. So this is a la Quantum Leap, in a way. Are we still here? I have no idea.
Murray?
Hello?
I'm here.
Okay.
Oh, okay. We got hijacked again.
Yeah, it sounded like that kid was... he might be listening. I don't know. Anyway, go ahead.
Hey, kid, if you got anything to add, please.
Yeah, jump right in. What the hell?
Or
magical
shut the hell up.
Mystery guest from the future.
Sure.
Yeah.
So we open up on very cool, by the way, because my kids and I love this show, American Ninja Warrior. We have two commentators, a young man and a woman, standing in front of a sign, Ninja USA sign, and says, and now we're ready for our next contestant, Lacey. His name is Miguel Herrera, and let's find out something about him, Tom, says the buxom blonde. By the way, the show, the real show that we see here is not hosted by people like this. They're two football player looking guys who are very excited. And then we have Miguel with his shades on because he is photosensitive and just standing there. He says, my name's Miguel Herrera and I've never done anything like this in my life. Never trained, totally unprepared. And when I heard Ninja USA was coming to New York, I figured, what the hell? Because he usually says, what the shock is his phrase, what the shock.
Okay.
And they're commenting that he's gonna bust his ass, and then they switch back to him, and he's in his PI t-shirt, Parker Industries t-shirt, which is a thing over in Amazing Spider-Man, by the way. Peter Parker has gone international a la Tony Stark, and he's standing there with his girlfriend, and he says, I should have worn a business suit just for laughs. Come on, Miggy, says his girlfriend. You don't want to make this look too easy. Guess you're right, although it kind of does look easy. And we pull back a nice, cool two-page spread of the American Ninja Warrior layout, which this is straight out of the TV show, by the way,
mm-hmm.
with the pads and the balls and the ramp. But the ramp looks a lot higher in this version than in the TV show.
I've actually watched that, so yeah.
Murray, have you ever watched American Ninja Warrior?
I have not.
Love it. It's man versus himself. It's very cool. It's something I can never do, but
yeah.
Okay, of course you could have worn you know, your other suits as his girlfriend. I think that might have tipped it off a bit, don't you? Yeah, you would have been pretty obvious. You ready to go? Yep. Be back in a minute, he says. And he is ripped in his shirt and shorts, and it looks like he's wearing boots. Good God. So he goes ahead and demolishes the course. The boards are no problem for him. Like, I don't care what he says. He must have been practicing. But let's see if the tightrope provides a problem for – he's sprinting. He's sprinting across the tightrope. I've never seen anyone run across the tightrope before. Have you, Lacey? Definitely not, Tom. Cirque du Soleil should hire this guy. All right. And now he's at the overhand crawl. And the whole trick with this, as you've seen repeatedly, by using the rings patiently while not running out of upper body. What's he doing? He's not using the rings. The pegs are too small for him to... Oh, my God, this is impossible. He's breaking the rules. He just has to get across. There's no rule that requires him to use the rings, but no one has ever done it without them. We're seeing history being made. History, I tell you, history. The swinging balls are providing no challenge for him.
That's
I'm not sure
said.
Anything can.
Oh, sorry. Hey-o!
He pauses briefly at the warped wall. 15.5 feet to success. But we've seen people wipe out at this point. He has 3 tries to... He didn't even take a running start. He's just running up the side. He somersaulted. He freaking somersaulted. The course was so easy for him. He felt like he had to show off at the end. 20.99 seconds, Lacey. We have indeed witnessed Ninja USA history. Miguel completed the course in 20.99 seconds. He may be the greatest ninja warrior in the history of our program. Nothing can stop him. And a little, he's thinking to himself, life is great, as he cheers himself on. And Will Sliney, just to take a side note, Will Sliney's art is usually pretty good, but that lower left-hand panel of the crowd and his girlfriend is a bit UGLY. That's just my opinion. Just an opinion. So, anyhow.
Yeah.
So he's back at work. He's talking to his boss, cohort, his fellow spider person, Peter Parker. Great, Miguel. Just great. I hire you as the head of research and development for the New York office of Parker Industries. And what do? You go on a freaking TV show. I know, Peter. I was there. Why did you do it? Because Tempest thought it would be fun. Tempest was the girlfriend, by the way, just in case anyone was wondering. She has purple hair, and which has never been explained in all the issues with the previous series, that she just has purple hair. Tempest again, Miguel. I'm really starting not to be thrilled with the influence she has on you. And that would mean a lot if I said any store in your opinion about her, Peter.
It's old man Parker.
My private... She is... The frick off my lawn. My private life is my private life, and not when it's broadcast on television, for crying out loud. Anyone with 2 brain cells to rub together now has a chance to figure out who you really are. Was, Peter. I put that behind me as well. Between you and Silk, Spider-Woman, and Miles, there are enough spider people running around these days. One less isn't going to make a difference. You haven't changed your mind on that, says Peter. I mean, we were able to incorporate my designs into your new suit, and all very clever. Wear it yourself, or give it to Miles, but I'm done. More Tempest's influence? Does she miss me risking my life? No, but it's my decision. And behind Peter are some spider costume designs. Again, Dan Slott is making Peter Parker into more of a Tony Stark-ish guy. Huh. Like on international. Again, can't recommend that book enough, by the way, in case you're not reading it.
No, amazing. I'm not. I need to.
So he puts back on his shades. He says, look, Peter, I've got a long day ahead of me. Anything else we really need to talk about? Not at the moment, but I'll be back in town at the end of the week, so pencil me in and we can go over everything. Will do. Raul, front and center, says Miguel as he talks into clearly a Bluetooth headset, or his ear, hard to say. Right here, Miguel, waiting outside for 10 minutes. Done talking to Mr. Parker? I am indeed so. Alchemix update? The jail, you mean? The jail, I mean. The project is not only merely dead, it's really most sincerely dead. What are you talking about? It's a Wizard of Oz reference. You've seen The Wizard of Oz. I have no idea what we're discussing right now. Jasmine says, sorry, very, very Peter David. So Raul calls in yes. Jasmine.
Very Peter David.
And Jasmine, once again, a very buxom young lady. What's up? She's not only merely dead, she's most sincerely dead, says Raul. What? Who am I referring to? Is this a trick question, she says? No, just answer it. The Wicked Witch of the West, she says.
East.
Oh, East. Oh. My bad. Sorry. That was a Munchkin Land part, too. I stand corrected. I sit corrected.
Holy. The Wicked Witch of the West line is, I'm melting, that's right. Melting. Oh, what a wicked, wicked world. Squish.
Her wonderful wickedness, yes. Mm-hmm. Thank God, I thought I was losing my mind, says Raul. That option might still be on the table, says Jasmine. Jasmine's been in the country 6 months, and she gets the reference. Am I needed in here for something actually work-related? Because I was working on bringing in my new assistant up to speed. Wait, you have an assistant? Yes, but you're my assistant. That's right. How can my assistant have an assistant? Go ask HR. Hey, can we get back to discussing something worthwhile, please? Yeah, right, sure. The prison? Absolutely. We managed to pull the right strings and get the funding for the prison yanked. Bottom line, the city only needs one facility for housing supervillains, which has gone over swimmingly, as we've seen over the years, by the way.
Yes, exactly.
That's how the new Avengers started. Mm-hmm. Anyhow, their construction contracts have been terminated and work has halted. A company called Empire Unlimited is the only group making a prison now. Alchemax is out of the game. And is what we did to accomplish that legal? Is there an answer to that that would make you happy? A vague one. I have no idea, but I'll get back to you.
Oh, excellent. I see.
So in the prior book, they were competing in bids to build a supermax prison in New York. And it was, as we will see in a moment, it was not something that Miguel thought was good for the future. And he is from the future, after all. Mm-hmm. All
not right. That Jasmine, far off, either. Like 80 years?
80 years? 60 years.
It's only 60.
No, you're right, 80 years. God, my math, my reading.
Sorry, man.
I need to go back to your
kind. Yeah, it's okay.
Murray, you got an extra chair in your classroom? I can use it.
It's fine, man. It's okay. It's early where you're at.
Not actually. That's not even an excuse today. Oh. It's almost 10:30.
Oh, crap. You're right. It is. It's almost noon here. It's 12:30, actually. Anyway. All right.
Yeah, okay, sorry. All right, so Jasmine's going to introduce Miguel to his assistant, Roberta. This is Miguel Herrera. O'Hara. He's the boss. Miguel, this is Roberta Mendez. It's a pleasure to meet you. Roberta, what's wrong? This will sound so strange, but I feel like I've met you before. Pretty sure we haven't. It's so odd. I'm not normally one for deja vu, but I could swear... I'm pretty sure you're mistaken. Miguel was on television last night. That's probably where you saw him. I don't have a television, says Roberta.
What? She's one of those people?
Yep. Probably can't afford it.
Everyone has a television. And everyone's seen The Wizard of Oz, so I guess it's Anything Can Happen Day at P.I. Yes, so, says Miguel, as he wanders off into his sub-basement of doom. And he gets on an elevator, and the elevator whisks him down to his private office in the basement, just like always, and I know what I'll find, the same thing I always find, try to take over the world.
No, he finds Harbinger.
He finds Harbinger.
Yeah.
He kind of does.
Well, Lila, she's wearing a low-cut dress.
Now she looks like Marilyn Monroe.
Why is she?
For a genius, I can be said, "Hello, Miguel. I've activated the temporal portal," says Lila. "Are you sure you want to enter? Why wouldn't I?" And there's a big door with a big vault-looking door, and because it invariably lowers your happiness index. "I currently perceive you to be in a good mood. Through the portal will alter that." "I'll take the chance," says Miguel. "Would you prefer a latte?" "Lattes have been shown to raise your happiness index by a measure of 7.5. "Ooh, a latte. Mm. "No. Open the door," he says. "Very well." The door opens, and he's like, "Damn it. Damn it." And there's a glow coming out of the door, a la Pulp Fiction, and he steps through the door, and 2099 is not looking very good. And he's looking around. He's not happy. The portal uses so much power. Now, you know what? I might as well read this. "Nothing has changed. The year 2099 is still a shocking hellhole. A newly leaving Malcolm X's employee would have no impact. But I thought curtailing their prison would change things. It didn't. I have no future, no home to come back to, presuming that I was able to stay. But the portal uses so much power that I can only remain here for an hour, max. Plus side, at least I have a built-in reason to leave." And then off screen, "Stranger!" Oh, wonderful. "I didn't need this right now," and a couple guys are charging at him with handmade spears and capes. I guess they're capes. And he kicks their ass, and he has the built-in, or he has the bio webbing like Spider-Man from the movies. Mm-hmm. And they're, "What the... Flark. Flark."
Hey, why not, man?
Sorry, I find that funny.
Rude. Put the explicit tag.
Oops.
I'm saying flark. I like that. Flark. That's new. People come up with such shocking epithets sometimes. "Shut it down, Lila." "Yes, Miguel." "What the flark just happened?" says one of the guys who attacked him, throwing a spear at the disappearing door. "Nothing has improved, Miguel." "Nope. Which means Alchemax or someone still does something to ruin the future, and I need to find out what it is. And the sooner I find it, the better. And then I'll never have to worry about Alchemax again." He is not looking happy.
Mm-mm.
This book intrigues me now.
It is intriguing. It's good. It has a lot of
intrigue.
Yes. It's very Peter David. I mean, he uses continuity as a tool rather than being a slave to it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So we switch settings. We're over at Alchemax. Damn it. We've been screwed. I'm telling you. This is something that Mike did. I swear. It was shut down by the city, Gargan. Mike had nothing to do with it. You always had a soft spot for that idiot. Always listened to every damn thing he said. He was my assistant. Of course I listened. In case you've forgotten, the prison was his idea, and now he works for Parker. So who cares whose idea it was? We got two guys talking here. One with glasses, another bald guy, and Gargan. Gargan, that will come to... We'll remember who that is in a moment. Considering you were a supervillain yourself, Gargan, I find it strange that you seem to have so much at stake personally over this. I just don't like to get beat, is all. By anybody or over anything. Well, your tenure as the Scorpion would indicate otherwise.
Oh,
very well.
That guy.
The original Scorpion. Cool, huh? All right, very well. Well. Busy being frustrated, gentlemen? A bit, yes, Miss Allen. And that it would be Liz Allen, one of Peter Parker's many exes, the many loves of Peter Parker.
Yeah, remember.
Murray has, right, Murray?
Yeah, I think so. Wasn't she in, that Bendis book, Ultimate Spider-Man?
Oh.
I mean, she was probably original Spider-Man, too. I don't remember from there, but...
Yeah, she was way back in the original Spider-Man days. She was one of his little, many loves of Peter Parker. This is when he was, I think, college years.
Oh, okay.
I would totally read that book. The Many Loves of Peter Parker.
Isn't
they could do it too?
Aren't they doing a Spidey book right now? That's Yeah. Him when he was younger?
Yes. The high awesome. School years.
Okay. There you go.
It's in the Archie version of Spider-Man. All right. To fix so
those, fix those continuity errors, you know, over the years.
Or make more.
True. Even better. Go on.
And she's introducing them to a new employee, Mr. Walter Johnson of the DI. What?
What?
Walter Johnson? Ooh.
Okay.
He was also one of Parker's many loves.
That was the experimental years.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
Or given how many, or given there's probably only 10 years of continuity, maybe the experimental months.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We see a well-dressed gentleman walk up. He says, "Hello, gentlemen." The DIS is Gargan. What's that? The Department of Internal Security.
Mm.
Quite correct, Mr. Stone. The DIS is the first best line of defense against the terrorists who want to wipe out our way of life. So you what, fight Muslims? Mr. Gargan, believe it or not, 99% of Muslims don't give a damn about doing anything except living their lives. No, our activities go quite far beyond such petty fear-mongering. You see, terrorism is moving up the charts on the priorities of supervillains. They are caring less about controlling the world and more about serving terrorist concerns because, let's face it, the terrorists have the money. And it is our intention to put an end to it. And we can be of help? You can. We need somewhere to keep superpower terrorists we capture and also question them about upcoming activities. You mean torture, says Gargan. I mean question, says Mr. Johnson. And we believe this facility is what we're looking for. Gargan smiles and says, I like Gargan's, whatever. I like this guy.
The bald guy.
The bald guy. And we switch back to Roberta. And she's all, I'm home. Hi, Mommy. Sarah wasn't mean to me today at all. And these two phantom-looking kids, they're shaded differently, come running up to her.
Yeah, that's kind of funky, isn't it?
I wasn't. I wanted to be, but I was good. Can I be mean to her tomorrow, says one, the older girl. Oh, I don't know. I think it's better when you try to be nice. Okay. Go play. I need to talk to Pappy or Daddy. Oh, my God. Wow. New glass time.
Slow down, man. Right. Slow down. It's okay.
It's the braces. I blame the braces.
Okay.
And then a gentleman walks up and he says, hey, sweetie, how was your day? It was fine, Harry. Tell me something. Have you ever met someone named Miguel O'Hara? Not that I recall. Why? Roberta, I said, honey, is something wrong? No, not at all. Just a work thing. And we see a female-looking Captain America standing, looking over this scene of familial bliss. And if anybody read the Secret Wars stuff of 2099, they will recognize that Captain America.
And it's her, isn't it?
It is her! Paul Murray. All right. So then we switch to the Bijou. And Peter is sitting with his girlfriend, and they're having lunch. Not Peter, Miguel. He says, I
Eat
do it.
Lives and loves of Peter. He gets
yep,
around.
We got two more. I can't believe you got us a table here. Don't you have to reserve it like months in advance? You do if you're a mere mortal. But we PI executives, we're a whole nother race entirely. So you're getting ready for that trip to Japan? They're not going to pay to send me, you know. Honey, I have a private jet at my service, remember? Isn't that supposed to be for business purposes? So I'll come up with a business reason. It'll be fine, sure. You don't want a glass of wine? Later, she says. Your flautas, monsieur? Oh, wait a minute. Flautas, is that a French thing?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. Anyhow. And your main course should be along shortly. Take your time. We've got all night. Miguel, I just want to tell you how happy you've made me these past months. Past months. God, these braces are killing me. Okay. It's no big deal, says Miguel. No, it's a huge deal. And we look out the window, and there's a cab driving by.
Oh, that's important, right?
It might be. And I was dying when I met you, she says, and then you cured me with some magic formula, which also turned you into a killer insect woman, which, by the way, was a great issue of Spider-Man 2090. Yeah, well, it's not the chemo. It's not like the chemo would have been a lot of laughs either. I owe you my life. Yeah, I know, and what? Sometimes I worry that's why you're in love with me. That it's less to do with how you feel about me and more a sense of gratitude. You really worry about that, she asks. Kind of. Also global warming and Donald Trump, he says. Who would have thought that you, of all people, would suffer from confidence issues? I love you for 100 reasons, Miggy, she says. And I'm about to give one more. Yeah? Yeah, oh. Sis. I'm prick, she whispers into his ear. And a car comes crashing in the window. What the? Crash. And Brakum. Take a drink.
It's a big explosion, man.
Oh,
that's
a man. Huge
explosion. And I like how the captions are all jumbled up. And
mm-hmm.
What just happened? I don't understand. Why is there crap on top of me? Where's our dinner order? Where's Tempest? Where's Tempest? She has to be here. Tempest. Get up, honey. Get up. Stop lying there. Get up. Get up. Mm. And fade to black.
Yeah, I gotta read some more of this. Go ahead.
I was just saying, it's a real cliffhanger. Like it was.
Yeah.
Cliffy hanger.
That was like an entire season of Arrow in one, like four or five panels.
Deconstruction on the TV. God, yes.
That show's like such a freaking soap opera.
Oh, Peter David. I mean, back to the book. So Peter David, yes. He obviously has been doing this for a few years, so he knows how to do 22 pages, and he knows to put into the 22 pages. And
absolutely.
How to make it, you know, like Murray, like you noted, where to put the cliffhanger. And
mm-hmm.
There it is. A real cliffhanger.
So how far along book now?
I think it's a seven.
Let me look. It's a little more than that. I was just on Comic Book DB. Hello?
Hello.
Okay. Could have swore I heard somebody else talking again. Number 9.
Oh, 9. Number 9?
Yep.
Number 9.
June 2016 cover date. When did it come out? It doesn't say.
It came out last week.
Oh, well, there you go.
Or the week before, excuse me, 2 weeks, so about 10 days ago at this recording time.
Gotcha.
And the nice thing is that as he noted in this issue, there are a lot of spider characters running around right now, but he is, mm-hmm. and he's using that. I mean, Peter David's using the fact that he works for Peter Parker and that there's a couple other spider people in New York, so they cross over a lot, but without with those books' continuities, and he's creating his own, you know, new set of villains. He's on Rogues Gallery over here, and that Roberta character is
mm-hmm.
Another throwback from 2099, as we find out, and other 2099 characters from strolling through.
Nice.
That somehow got trapped back in the 21st century. Which has not been revealed yet as to why that happened.
Interesting.
It is interesting. It's a fun book. It shouldn't have lasted, and yet it does.
Yeah, I'm looking at through issue 2 now. Interesting.
Yes. Lots of intrigue, lots of soap opera.
Oh, yeah.
And he does not play by the same rules as Peter Parker. In the latest issue, he starts breaking fingers in order to get some information. Something Peter would never resort to.
No, he wouldn't do that. Though he probably should. Sometimes. Every once in a while is not bad. Daredevil certainly does on the TV show.
I haven't watched season 2 yet. I need to get to season 2 eventually.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Though I still think the Punisher portrayal is off, but that might be pre-Punisher. But the well, never mind. Shut my mouth now. But anyway, yeah, that was good. I'm going to have to read the rest of those. I'm sure I've got them. I actually started a folder with all the new stuff, and I've got 4 or 5 months of each one in it, and I was planning on reading it, and it never happened. Never happened.
Go get a go buy a hammock, put it up in your backyard.
That's not a bad idea.
Get a sunburn.
Not a bad idea. Yep. Good idea.
But park yourself in the shade a little bit so you can at least see the screen on your leader there.
Now, I'd probably put the hammock inside and just sit in front of the door so I could still be in the air conditioning. I spent a lot of time cleaning up here. I found the floor yesterday evening.
Well, it's good to have a floor.
Yep.
So a hammock inside, a la Gilligan and the Skipper. Cool.
Yep, exactly. So, okay. Well, that's a good one. And I've always liked Peter David stuff, so I'm gonna have to read the rest of those. Let's see, what else? What else we got?
In real quick, if you liked Peter David stuff, the Maestro from Future Imperfect is a main character ongoing Contest of the Champions book that is
it was him and Perez that did Future Imperfect, wasn't it?
Yep.
Yes, that's where that character. Yes, that's probably where I read it first. I went to it because of Perez, and then good stuff.
Yep.
He did a.
Right, I got nothing else.
He did an indie book called Apropos of Nothing. It's a fantasy book, and it's about this sorcerer or wizard that's morally ambiguous, like that character. Actually quite funny. There's a lot of little jokes and inside jokes in there. I read that a while back. I think it's in black and white, but that's a good book too. I'll have to hunt that down.
I got turned on to his stuff back with the Incredible Hulk way back in there.
Yeah, I know he did a big Hulk run. The Hulk character just never appealed to me for some reason. I don't know why.
He took a book that was failing, and they said, "Hey, you, it's in the mailroom. You want to write a book?" And he said, "Sure."
Yeah. Oh, I know. His run's famous. I think I got at least one of the epic collections they did is of a big chunk of his Hulk run. I've got it in on the stack to read. Okay, well, that's about it for this week. Yeah, so you can send us an email at podcast at talesfromalongbox.com, or you can join us on the Facebook page, all kinds of shenanigans going on there, or you can comment on the actual episodes and let us know what you think there. And hopefully we won't have an uninvited guest next time. I don't know what the hell that was all about. That's the weirdest thing. It's like we were on a party line.
That's what it
is. Yeah, so very strange. Just completely blocked out. Yeah, it sounded like a little boy, actually, to me anyway. I was like, "Hello, who's that? Hello, who's this? Who are you?" Anyway, that was interesting. Anyway, that's it for this week. So we are out.